Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Good morning, golfers. Your tee time awaits. It's the Tee to Green Golf Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Got a thought on the PGA Tour? Want help with your swing? Give the show a call at 803-0550.
Tee to Green is being presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club.
A hole in one.
It's time to talk golf. Here are your hosts, Brian Cozio, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Mitis.
Welcome back to Glen Oak Golf Club. It is raining, and I'm guessing if you're listening in Western New York, it is raining where you are here as we welcome you back. Open Championship Week on the PGA Tour, so it's a major, so we go 2 hours. We appreciate you being with us here. Brian Cozio, PGA Pro Jeff Mitis. Kevin Sylvester has the week off. Corey Griswold producing back in our Amherst studios. Great first hour. We were joined by PGA Pro and owner here at Glen Oak Golf Club, Tim Freeze, for our first 45 minutes of the show. So if you missed any of that, we'll have it up on our on-demand audio section in just a little bit at WGR550.com. Also, interviews with the new ambassador to the Western New York PGA Hope Program, Scott Smalter, and also Pat Phillips, the PGA Pro inside Woods to Wedges on putters. This hour, Jeff and I will have more on the Open Championship. It's been good so far from what we've been watching. If you want to watch the television coverage, it is on NBC. And also at 8:30, Marty Schimmel, the media director from the Porter Cup, to join us to preview next week's event, which starts on Wednesday. And this week, media day they had on Tuesday, still forget there's so many big names that have played in the Porter Cup event. I know we'll get more into this at 8:30, Jeff, but the guy that leads the FedEx Cup standings right now, Patrick Cantlay, he played in the event. Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, these guys all played in the Porter Cup.
Yeah, the list
Ricky
is
Fowler.
The list is ridiculous. Yeah, it's a great event, and we're lucky to have it in our backyard. And it's borderline tour quality golf there with these guys. It's the Young Bucks. Tons of fun to watch these guys play. So I played a lot of golf at Niagara Falls Country Club, so I like to go and watch these guys play to see how much better they are than I am. Yeah.
Yeah, so this week we found out some things about the field. We'll have that information coming up a little bit later at 8:30. But I wanted to read you this because I thought this was super interesting. When I was there for Media Day on Tuesday...
Was there a free lunch involved, Brian?
Yes. By the way, it's the best media lunch. It's the best media lunch in Buffalo, for sure. The current top 30 FedEx Cup standings, okay? All these players played in the Porter Cup. Cantlay, 1. English, 2. DeChambeau, Thomas, Kokrak, Koepka, Sink, Cameron Smith, DJ, Reed, Scheffler, Horschel, Homa, Connors, Hoffman, Leishman. All those guys are in the top 30 in the standings. They all played in the Porter Cup.
How many names is that? At least 15.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So half the top players in the world this year played in this event. So what's that tell you about the Porter Cup?
Yeah. So they have a really good field in terms of international players. So we'll hear more from Marty Schimmel at 8:30. That's coming up. Let's talk a little bit about DeChambeau and Koepka. Mm-hmm. Continued drama to play out with these two. It goes back and forth. DeChambeau, after Thursday's round, says, quote, the driver sucks. He obviously was very upset about how he hit it, but it really came off as if he was blaming the driver. In fact, he did. He kind of went after Cobra and said, look, with the driver right now, the driver sucks. It's not a good face for me. We're still trying to figure out how to make it work good on the miss hits. I'm living on the razor's edge, like I've told people for a long time. Then Cobra, right away,
the tour rep,
yes, says everybody's bending over backwards for him. We've got multiple guys in the R&D who are trying to get this and that into the pipeline faster. It's just really, really painful when he says something that stupid. He's never really been happy ever. Then they went out and called him an 8-year-old, talking about how an 8-year-old yells at their mom and dad and says, "I hate you." Like, other things like that. I mean, my goodness. Now, DeChambeau did come out later that night and said he apologized. He said something very unprofessional.
I thought that was a half-hearted apology, too. He said, "Well, I'm creating such speed that it's hard to create a face for me, blah, blah, blah." There's long drivers that are creating more speed than he is. And, yeah, you got to hit in the center of the blade. And, you know, it seems to me, we're kids. You play golf. You grabbed a glove, a club. You made it work. You got a driver. You didn't always get fit for it. You just went out there and hit it and did the best you could. It was shocking to see someone who's been around the media that much to say something so off-putting to his major sponsor for his clubs.
I would agree. I mean, it's the exact opposite of what athletes do.
Yeah.
I mean, I always joke about the NASCAR drivers, but they might have just won Daytona before they even say that they're excited. What do they say? I'd like to thank my sponsor, blah, 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 blah.
Pepsi.
Right. Yeah. They go through and they thank all their guys and all their sponsors. Like, you never hear players go after their own brand, especially, I mean, let's face it, Cobra was on board with DeChambeau when he started his career. Like, that was a company that bought into him right away. And to see that's kind of shocking. I've read some things to say, like, will this be the last week he plays these clubs? Will they pull the plug? DeChambeau, they still, though, feel has some value, obviously, being attached with him. So maybe it's just a little blip on the radar. But nevertheless, he definitely came off, to me, I thought, kind of the spoiled brat mentality, the way that he kind of really went off on that.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, his publicist must have been working overtime trying to mend fences that whole afternoon. And I'm surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if Cobra cut him loose. You know, if you treat your sponsors, I mean, they do a lot of work. You're in the tour vans. They give him a lot of money to play his equipment. And something like that cannot be good for the brand. And what brand's going to want him after that? You know, it's like, and there's a revenue source lost to you. And maybe not everybody's going to want to work with him the way that Cobra works with him, because they don't have as many tour players to work with on staff. So there's a lot of negative things there. And I, you know, as far as his personal brand, he hasn't been helping it this summer. That's for sure. And I didn't, you know, Brooks Koepka, I like that he's feuding with him. I like Brooks. He didn't have to chirp in that he likes his driver.
Now he says, "Oh, I liked my driver a lot," or "I love my driver." But to me, it seems like almost at this point, like, all right, guys, enough. Like, it is.
A good craftsman never blames his tools. You know what I mean? That's the way I look at it. If you don't like that driver, don't hit it. Hit your 3-wood or grab another driver. Yeah.
At this point, I'm kind of sick of both of them. I just want to be like, guys, shut up. Like, yeah,
I agree.
Let's put it to rest here for a while. Like, even Koepka chiming in with the "I love my driver." Like, I want to say to Koepka, like, look, you've won 4 majors. You are one of the best players in the world. Like, you don't have to worry about Bryson DeChambeau and his antics right now and him saying stupid stuff. Like, you don't have to respond to everyone. Like, I would think your resume is so strong and how good you are. Like, you don't have to respond to everything Bryson does. I don't know. It looks a little juvenile, too. I don't know. For right now, the two of them, I just want to be like, look, like, enough for a little while here.
Yeah, if I was working with Brooks, I'd be like, take the high road. Just let him
let him bury himself.
Yeah, let him bury himself in these comments. You don't have to do anything, and you don't want to mess up your personal brand either.
So. Right. And a lot of people are thinking, like, Koepka's coming off as a bully, and I think there's some ways maybe that you could look at that way. Like, he's always got to get that last word in, always got to chirp something.
It's petty. Yeah. Petty is the word that comes to mind for me.
Initially, I thought this was helping both of their quote brands for that money pot that the tour has set aside. Now that it's gone on for about 2 months, at the end here, I'm finding both of them less likable maybe than I did 2 months ago.
I would agree with that, and I think that's the general consensus, because it was fun. It was interesting because it was unique to golf for a little bit, and now it seems a little tired, a little juvenile.
It's not genuine or natural. You're right. Like, Bryson's complaining about his Cobra driver. So what does that have to do with Brooks Koepka? But now he's getting in. So, yeah, I don't know. I found that both parts of this that I found interesting. Look, I think both players, there's traits that I like about both of them. I like the fact that Brooks Koepka says what he thinks. From a person that's also works in the media, we interview athletes all the time. They spew cliches. A lot of times it gives us nothing. As a person who's done interviewed with professional athletes, I hate when they just do that, because then it makes it not interesting at all for anybody to listen to, nor for me doing the interview. I want to hear something different. I want to hear truly what you're thinking. I want to credit Brooks Koepka. A lot of times he says things that aren't cliche. He does sometimes say what he's thinking. I think, though, there's a line between that and personally attacking another golfer. That part of it, maybe it's crossed the line too much. I do applaud Koepka for saying what he's thinking about certain items, controversial topics, things like that. I've applauded McIlroy for doing that, by the way, who's been playing very well this morning. DeChambeau, I also want to applaud him for thinking outside the box, to think about hitting the irons all the same length, to think about taking analytics and clubhead speed to a whole different level. Like, hey, he's decided, I'm going to try something within the rules to maybe make me as good a golfer as I possibly can be. I applaud him for that, too. But how they've both handled themselves through some of these things here recently with each other, I don't know. It's turned me off a little.
It's too much. You know, I get annoyed that in DeChambeau's case that he blames others and he denies things that are...
Even going back to last year, remember he blaming rules officials and stuff like that?
Yeah. It's golf. That's a great thing about golf. Guess what? I shot that score and I'm the only one I can blame because I didn't have a team or anything. You know, it's just me out there. And I've always liked Kep because I feel like he just has a way to raise his game for the majors, and he's a great player. But I am tired of the whole back and forth at this point. You know, DeChambeau wants to do all this, let him do it. I get a little annoyed watching, well, here's Bryson DeChambeau hit at 380. Well, he's 14 shots back. So, you know, at this point, it's not that interesting to me. I'd rather watch the leaders. And I do agree with you. I like that DeChambeau thinks differently, and I think that's what's made him a good golfer. I think if he tried to be like everybody else, he wouldn't be the player he is today.
Yeah. Both players have drawn people in to watch golf. Both players are tremendous golfers, for sure. They're two of the best golfers in the world.
Oh, two of the top 10 in the world.
Right.
Yeah.
And I enjoy watching them both for many facets of their game. I just think they've handled some things not as well as I think I would have liked here over the last few weeks. Anyway, moving on to our leaders. Louis Oosthuizen and Colin Morikawa, they'll play together 10:55 Eastern. Jordan Spieth and Dylan Fratelli from South Africa, they're in the second last group. Other big names this morning, we just mentioned Brooks Koepka. He's at 9:55. John Rahm's at 9:45. So there are some bigger names there. Of course, Dustin Johnson is at 10:35 this morning with Scottie Scheffler. He's in the third last group. So there's some of your leaders there at the top. I want to, though, before we go to break here, before we get into our Porter Cup interview, spend a few minutes on an event that's going on in Rochester, the Women and the Symetra Tour. For those of you that don't know the Symetra Tour, it's essentially what the Korn Ferry Tour is on the men's side of things. So they're playing at Brooklee Country Club, and might as well give a little shout-out to our leader, Emma Brose from France is the leader. Rachel Rohana is one shot back. Brose is at 8 under par. Rohana is at 7 through two rounds, and they're at Brooklee.
Yeah, and if you want to watch some really good golf, it's about an hour from the toll booth at the Williamsville toll booth, maybe a little less to get to Brooklee. It's an old Donald Ross gem. I worked there for years. It's named after a girl, Danielle Downey, who I knew, and I used to play quite a bit of golf with when she was a youngster there at Brooklee Country Club. And
the Danielle Downey Credit Union Classic in Rochester, yes.
That's right. And she, there was an amazing stat. I think she finished all 4 years in the top 10 in the NCAA championships, including playing basically one-handed her senior year. She played the tour. She was assistant coach at the Auburn women's golf team. She was an amazing young woman, and it's named in her memory. And, you know, I'm proud to have her name on that event. And that's a really cool place to play and a really cool thing to see. So if you want to watch some golf, I don't know if they're playing today, but check out at Brooklee, especially if you live in that area. It's definitely worth the trip to go watch those young women play. Like you said, it's all over the world. These are the best women players that are trying to make the tour.
Yeah. It's great to see these women try to make it to the LPGA, as we've heard so much. Just an update, by the way, from the Symetra Tour on this event. One inch of rain overnight, more rain coming today. Brooklee is unplayable as of this moment. So it says round three will be postponed until Sunday. The tournament is now a 54-hole event. So no golf today at the Symetra Tour event at Brooklee in Rochester. Round three going to go to Sunday, and it'll just be a 54-hole event. So don't go today.
Yeah, that there's a little creek that runs through that place. It might be a little high right now. Tim Fries was telling us they've got 1 8/10 inches already here at Glen Oak so far today. So there's a lot of rain coming down, but good day to watch the British Open. Sit inside, cook something and watch the watch these great players have a battle against this golf course.
I'm really looking forward to watching these leaders come in. I love watching Jordan Spieth. He's one of my favorite players ever to watch. I just think he's. I love hearing his conversations with his caddy. I think he's super fun to watch. Like Ustase and Morikawa and Spieth, to me, the other two, Ustase and Morikawa, are so steady, and I respect that so much. Spieth can be a little bit more all over the place, but he figures out a way to get it done. But Spieth's been pretty steady this week too. Obviously, that's why he's at the top. I think he's such an exciting player. I'm really looking forward to seeing if he can get it done here. I think for golf, though, any of these guys in the top three, if they end up winning this week, it's great. Ustasen deserves it.
Oh, yeah.
He has been so good in majors. 9 consecutive rounds, Jeff, at the end of a round, he's been in the top three of a major. These two at the Open, all 4 at the U.S., and then 2 going back to... Let me add that up right. 2, 4, and 3. I'm sorry, at the PGA Championship. That adds up to 9.
Wasn't he second at the Masters, second at the U.S. Open this year or something, too? He's just been insane.
He's been so good. So he deserves it in terms of how he's been playing. He's, other than winning, arguably he's been the best player in majors here these last 2-3 years. He's been outstanding. Colin Morikawa, how about this? He wins in his PGA Championship debut last year at Harding Park. This is his Open Championship debut, because remember last year there was no event due to COVID. He'd be the first player in the history of the PGA Tour to win 2 majors in their debut.
And who's the defending champion? Can you remember?
Shane Lowry.
Very good. Yeah, it was 2019.
I had to think, though, for a second. He, by the way, comes in today. He's tied for 17th at -4.
Good plan. And the British is, like, as we talked about in our earlier segment, the creativity that these guys display around the greens is what I really like to watch. And all these players, the leaderboard is packed. So if you like watching golf, you can watch Dustin today. You can watch Colin Morikawa hit the ball, then the turf first with his irons, and hit him low and hit him high. And you know, with the course being not too windy today, I think we're going to see a lot of birdies getting rolled in, which makes golf exciting. Although I don't mind watching them make bogeys and doubles and not getting out of those pop bunkers every once in a while, too.
All right. Leaders tee off 10:55 with Ustasen and Morikawa. So great weather in Sandwich, Kent, England.
Yeah, and the announcers with the English accents and the phrases they use are so much fun.
The pot bunkers are not fun.
No.
Rory McIlroy's in one of those right now, trying to get up and down to salvage what has been an outstanding round so far. He's 4 under par, and he just hit a great shot. Get another chance here to save par. So we'll keep you posted on what's going on the action on the course. When we come back, though, a few minutes with Marty Schimmel, the media director and one of the tournament directors at the Porter Cup up at Niagara Falls Country Club. That starts next Wednesday at Lewiston. He'll join us next live as we roll on here. Hour number 2 from Glen Oak Golf Club. We continue with PGA Pro Jeff Mitis. I'm Brian Colziel here from a rainy Glen Oak Golf Club in East Amherst. We're back with more on WGR right after this.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Custom turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club. Stay tuned. More Tee to Green coming up.
The pool is open, the AC is on, and the electric bill is going up. It's a small price to pay for a comfortable summer. What if you could earn cash back on your electric bill? Well, connecting to EnergyMark Community Solar is kind of like that. You'll reduce your bill with solar credits without having to install solar panels. No more fights about the thermostat, at least not because of the bill. Learn more and connect to EnergyMark at buylocalenergy.com. That's buylocalenergy.com. EnergyMark, the official energy supplier of the Buffalo Bills.
Time for a check of the PGA Tour leaderboard. Brought to you by Callaway Chrome Soft. This ball is different. And also by Puma Golf Shoes.
Back on Tee to Green from Glen Oak Golf Club, where it is raining. You might be hearing it through our microphones. We're on the beautiful patio. We're covered and dry. We're watching on the big television screen here. We're watching the Open Championship, and it is time for a check of the PGA Tour leaderboard. Louis Oosthuizen. Love saying that name. 11 under par. He's your leader right now. He'll tee off at 10:55 Eastern, along with Colin Morikawa, who is 2 shots back at -9. Jordan Spieth and Dylan Fratelli, they're going to go at 10:45 this morning. They are in the second last group. Spieth is 3 back. Fratelli is 4 back. DJ and Scottie Scheffler are both at 7 under par. They are at 10:35 this morning. So we'll keep an eye on the Open. If anything breaking kind of happens here while we're going on, Rory McIlroy, who was on fire early, just made a bogey, so he's back to minus three. He was one of the best golfers on the course so far, but he is now back to minus three. Well, you heard the third last group, Dustin Johnson, Scottie Scheffler, they're together. They both played in the Porter Cup up at Niagara Falls Country Club amongst a long list that we mentioned earlier. And joining us now here on the line here on Tee to Green is Marty Schimmel, the media chairman and one of the tournament directors from the Porter Cup up at Niagara Falls Country Club. Marty, good morning. It's Brian and Jeff here from Glen Oak. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How's everything going there? I'm sure it's raining as much there as it is here in Lewiston.
Yes. I'm guessing you're glad today is not one of the days of the Porter Cup because it is not good for golf.
Yeah, one of the first things I did this morning was I looked at the long-range forecast. It shows a chance of thunderstorms, but it was nice not to see any lightning bolts or rain coming out of the pictures. So, you know, we'll keep our fingers crossed and hope for the best. You can only control so much, and one of the things you can't control, unfortunately, is the weather.
That's right. Well, we'll hope that you get a great week of weather. The event starts on Wednesday, and Marty, I don't know if you were listening earlier, but I mentioned the current top 30 in the FedEx Cup standings: Cantlay, who's number one, Harris English, Bryson DeChambeau, Justin Thomas, Kokrak, Koepka, Sink, Smith, DJ, Reed, Scheffler, Horschel, Homa, Connors, Hoffman, Leishman. These are all guys having great years on the PGA Tour. They're in the top 30. All of them played in the Porter Cup. And we know, of course, big names like Mickelson and Woods, they did as well. So for those that maybe don't know a lot about the event, there's some of the names of players that. Can you just give us a little history about what the Porter Cup is?
Well, you hit the nail right on the head. I mean, there's an awful lot of players on tour today that have had success coming through Niagara Falls Country Club. Some of them played and really were not really notable. So, I mean, Patrick Reed finished in the bottom third the year he was here. I remember a story. We have in our room kind of a Porter Cup room with all the memorabilia and pictures, an email from Brooks Koepka to then tournament director Steve Denn saying he moved and he hopes his invitation didn't get lost in the mail because he wanted to come back and play in his second Porter Cup. So, yeah, there's just been a great history of players here. Ricky Fowler's played here. Like I say, there's just been a great history of golf talent come through the Porter Cup.
Now, you always have a really, really strong field, and part of having a really strong field is an international contingent. Can you tell the listeners a little bit how many people come from how many different countries, and maybe a list of the field this year? Who's competing this year?
We've got 11 countries represented this year. And we've got countries such as Pakistan and England. Now, surprisingly, I believe this is the first year anyone from England has competed in the Porter Cup, but we've got a lot of foreign players. We've got a lot of the younger, you know, good younger American players too. So we're looking. This year was a bit difficult with, you know, post pandemic, go out and recruit, and we're not housing this year. One of the features of our tournament is our members always house players. This year, we didn't do that simply because of the vaccine situation, the COVID situation. We're over it, but we're not 100% out of the woods. So we didn't really feel safe asking members to house, the kids who really, you know, we didn't know if they were vaccinated and what have you. So they'll be staying on their own hotels and around the area. We've got several discounts and deals at hotels throughout the area. But we've got a really good contingent. We've got a couple of Australians in. We've got a lot of locals. One of my favorites stories is Will Thompson. Certainly not a foreign player, but Will is a junior at Texas. This is the sixth or seventh Porter Cup. I remember him coming here when he was just a skinny little 14-year-old kid from the Rochester area. Now I walked up to him in 2019. I couldn't believe it. He's huge. But it'll be good to see him returning here. We've talked about Garrett Rank. I think you know that name, NHL official, who's in the top 40 in the world right now. So he's certainly one of the names that we are looking forward to seeing too. But Anthony DeLisanti's received an invite and has accepted. He's kind of really, he's kind of lit the world up here locally. 18-year-old young man from the area here. So we're excited to have him come in here too. So there's just a lot of them. And it's a funny story. I'm watching the Open here. Dylan Fratelli, South African, played here as well. And he's an interesting story. Kind of have a soft spot in our heart for him. He played here twice when he was with Texas, and he stayed with a member. And we currently have one of our members is handling his business affairs for him. So he travels with Dylan, and we're kind of hoping Dylan can break that scheme this weekend. He had two good rounds. I believe it was 66, 67. But he's currently four shots off the pace, so we're kind of hoping Dylan comes through this week as well.
Yeah, Fratelli will be in the second last group with Jordan Spieth. And I mentioned, as I introduced you here, that the third last group has Dustin Johnson and Scottie Scheffler, both who have played in the Porter Cup as well. So you've got three players that have played in the Porter Cup event here that are all in the top five. So as we said, it translates onto the PGA Tour and some of the guys that people will get a chance to come see this week. Marty, how about just some of the logistics of if people want to come up and watch this week? Are there any sort of restrictions with COVID still or anything like that? How does parking work and admission and all that sort of stuff?
No restriction. There's no admission, as always. But we also, the Boy Scouts have a parking lot, if you're familiar, across Military Road alongside number 14 Fairway. The Boy Scouts keep all the profits, and they conduct parking there. That's our main lot, and people also park. There's certain areas off the club in the club parking lots, but those are passes. Those are mostly for members. I would suggest mostly the parking in the big Boy Scout parking area off of Military Road, and like I said, admission is free. And just come on, walk out on the golf course, we are still, I believe, somewhat cautious with social distancing. Well, we have a lot of room out there. There's a big space, big space out on the golf course, and we can keep people moving freely. And we are just, like I say, with the women's, we were talked about the women's in June. We were kind of just getting out of the precautions, and that was kind of like, can we do this? Can we do that? We feel a lot more confident in July now that over a month has passed. So it's going to be just like any other year as far as spectators go.
Okay, awesome. So starts on Wednesday morning, 8 a.m., I believe, is the first tee time. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and we'll be there next week for our show, broadcasting before the final round, so we'll be looking forward to that. So again, admission is free. It's at Niagara Falls Country Club in Lewiston, starting on Wednesday. Great annual event here in Western New York, the Porter Cup. Marty, congrats on all the pre-work that you and the rest of the tournament directors do, and the staff and all the members up there for obviously hosting this great event. We wish you great weather, and have a great tournament.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me on, guys.
Appreciate it. Thanks. Marty Schimmel, the media chairman and one of the tournament directors with the Porter Cup. So, Jeff, I should have even mentioned Fratelli there, too. I mean, look, he's right in contention here. There's another Porter Cup player.
It's almost too many names to mention because there's so many good players that play in that event, and then they end up making the tour. I mean, it's one of the premier amateur events in the country. Yeah, if you're a good player, you want to be in that event.
The 12th hole is the hole this week on media day. We get a chance to play the course afterwards. The 12th hole is the hole, a par three at Niagara Falls, where Tiger Woods made a hole in one.
Yep, they got a nice little plaque there. It's a difficult little short iron to a small green,
and there's the creek that kind of goes away from you. But it makes it tougher as the green kind of peels back. If the pin's more toward the back, it's a really tough shot.
Yeah, and that water creeps up on the left if you pull it. But these guys aren't pulling nine irons or wedges that far. So,
and you know Niagara Falls Country Club very well.
I do, yeah.
Coach, so what's the key for these Porter Cuppers this week?
You know, I don't know how the rough is this week because sometimes they'll get
pretty thick.
I thought
it was pretty thick when it was up there from all this rain that they've had.
Because it's been dry up until this week, so it should be pretty thick. It's a golf course. They're going to shoot low scores because these are super good players. I think you just got to keep it in the fairway there because it's not really long for this type of player, and hit a lot of wedges and get those wedges close and putt uphill. You know, the same advice we give to the people playing at East Aurora, but it's good advice. These guys are bashers and super fit athletes, and they're at the peak of their games, and they're going to shoot very, very good scores. It's fun to watch.
It's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday up at Niagara Falls Country Club in Lewiston. Again, it's free. So if you're looking for somewhere to go, I took my son Jack up there 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. If you have a son or daughter that's into golf or you think kind of likes golf, this is a really, really cool event to go to because unlike maybe a PGA Tour event, you'll be able to stand basically right next to the tee and watch him hit there. And I remember the Jack, when he was 7 or 8 or whenever I took him up there, one of the players tossed him a ball, and you know he thought that was the coolest thing ever. And I mean, you get to be right there, which is so cool.
It's got a big event feel too when you're there. You know, there's none of the ropes and stuff like that, but it has because there's people and there's a buzz and there's a media tent, and these are the best players, so it does have that ambiance, that feel, that atmosphere when you walk into there. Hey, this is a big event, and these are good golfers, and that's what makes it fun.
Yep. So Porter Cup starts this week. Good luck to everybody up at Niagara Falls Country Club. Okay, we're going to take our final timeout here on Tee to Green from Glen Oak Golf Club. When we come back, we will get Jeff and I's final thoughts here on the Open Championship as it gets going with the leaders set to tee off at 10:55. With Jeff Minas, I'm Brian Colziel. More Tee to Green from Glen Oak Golf Club coming up right after this on WGR.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club. Stay tuned, more Tee to Green coming up. Time now for our Champions Tour Report, brought to you by Donald Ross Clothing, the world's finest golf apparel.
Back here on Tee to Green, our final segment of our two-hour show. Thanks for being with us. If you just joined us, we'll have the entire show, both hours, up on our on-demand audio section at WGR550.com in just a little bit. It is time, though, for our Champions Tour report. There is no official Champions Tour event this week because of the Open Championship, but the U.S. Senior Open was last week, and we should mention Jim Furyk, who played very well, won by 3 over Mike Weir and Retief Goosen. So Jim Furyk is the U.S. Senior Open Championship champion. Another win for Fluff on the bag there, Jeff.
He looks like he's walked 100 million miles. I saw a picture, and somebody said he's walked across the country 3 or 4 times just in the caddying he's done on the tour.
Yep, he's been around for quite a while. What was an interesting story in the first round of the Open Championship, of course, Champions Tour player, I guess we could call him, Phil Mickelson, shot an 80 in the opening round. He was tied for last, tied for 155th. Did shoot a little better in day two, shot a 72, but got himself out of last, but obviously not playing this weekend.
It just goes to show you how difficult and how hard these tournaments are when a guy who just won the PGA Championship a few weeks ago or a few months ago shoots an 80 and is dead last in this field. But, you know, it may not be the best setup for Phil, and he seems to be maybe taking a little bit of a victory lap since he won the PGA Championship, as I would also.
Darren Clarke, another Champions Tour player, who won the Open the last time it was played here at Royal St. George's in 2011. He also missed the cut, a little more respectable of a score. He was 6 over, so he did not make the cut. But I was talking with Chopin Bulldog on Wednesday when we were previewing the tournament, and we mentioned how, I guess, maybe surprising, as Tim Freeze, by the way, back here with us as well from Glen Oak, how Darren Clark's victory was surprising. He beat out Mickelson and DJ. Mickelson, of course, 10 years younger at this point, and DJ coming on to the prime of his career. He beat them both out. It was kind of a little surprising. But more surprising was 2003, the last time it was played here at Royal St. George's. Who won that, Tim? Do you know?
I have no idea.
No, that's going to be...
You can turn your mic on.
That's going to be... Hit me, Brian.
Ben Curtis.
Ben, who had a decent career after that.
Decent.
So this is what I thought was surprising. So these were the scores going into the final round of the Open Championship at Royal St. George's in 2003. Thomas Bjorn was the only player under par. He led. He was at 1 under. He was the only one under par. Davis Love III was in second solo. He was even, so he was 1 back. That was the final group. And then there was a 5-way tie for 3rd at +1, 2 off the lead. Listen to these names. Sergio, Kenny Perry, Vijay Singh, Tiger Woods, and Ben Curtis. So if I would have told you in 2003, Bjorn, who was great playing at that point, seemed like he was involved in all these European, you know, great Ryder Cupper, Bjorn, Love, Sergio, Perry, Singh, Tiger, and Ben Curtis. Pick your winner.
It wasn't Ben Curtis.
It was not Ben Curtis. And he came out of all that and ended up winning.
So you're saying so Daniel's got a chance here.
What I'm saying is not only was that surprising, but when you look back at who he was going against there, kind of essentially head-to-head, including Tiger, in 01 or 03, where, you know, he was...
peak of his game. Yes.
It's a pretty impressive win for Curtis, not only to win, but when you throw in who he beat out right there that were in contention on the final day, that's pretty impressive there. With that being said, Ustazen's at the top. Morikawa's with him, two off. Spieth, Fratelli, DJ, Scheffler, all right there. Do we have a story like Dylan Fratelli maybe coming out of nowhere here to win? Dylan Fratelli, I don't know, would he be even maybe even more accomplished than Ben Curtis would have been at the time? I mean, if you're talking maybe a no-name winner here, you've got Marcel Siem, the German, is 6-under. Andy Sullivan, the 6-under.
Marcel Siem was off the tour this year. I think he's playing like the European version of the mini tours.
He's just coming back from not
he's
playing.
Won twice on the European tour. I mean, he's a player, but he's been struggling with his game.
You've got Rahm and Koepka at 5, so let's see if we can narrow down here. Tim Fries, by the way, from Glen Oak here, back joining us. What do you think? So you went with Rahm last week.
I went with Rahm coming into the week.
He's 5-under. That's a very respectable pick.
Yeah, I guess I'd want to stick with him, but if I had to place a bet, I think I might put it on Morikawa just because how close he's hitting the ball. He's such a good iron player. I think there's a demand for iron play around this facility. So I think if I had my pick again, I might pick him today.
And Tim, you said earlier you like Louis, right?
I just can't come off Louis. Look what he's done in the past couple of majors here. And here he is playing well again. And he's putting well, and he drives it. He just swings beautifully. Who wouldn't want to swing like that? So he's so keeping smooth. It between the heather, and that's how you're going to score. So.
Well, I picked Spieth last week, so
that's a good pick.
My shoulders are a little taller.
You also had a good out-of-the-pack pick, if I remember. Who'd you pick was as your
Westwood.
Surprise? Yes, okay.
I mean, he's 2-under.
Okay.
It's okay.
I thought you had somebody else.
I know.
Newly married. He's doing good.
He's having a great year. So I'm sticking with Spieth. I hope he wins. I think it's great for golf if he wins. Although all three of these guys at the top, it would be, I think, outstanding if they
ended up winning. Colin Morikawa is 4th in the world. I didn't. He's quietly 4th-ranked player in the world.
Be the first player ever to win 2 majors in their debut. He won the PGA Championship in his debut. This is his Open Championship debut because they didn't play it last year because of COVID. So he has a chance to do something that no other player in the history of golf will have done in terms of majors.
Brian, he's an average putter. He hits it so good.
So straight.
Learn how to hit a nice little soft cut. But he's an average putter winning like this. So.
An average tour player putter, which is still pretty darn good.
Very good, yeah.
The excitement, Tim, when we had you on earlier with McIlroy, has now fizzled. He was 4-under through 9, but now he's given a couple back here on the back 9. So the thought of, like, hey, if he could do a couple more under on the back 9, maybe...
This is what Rory does.
But he comes... What did I say to you at 6:30 this morning when I saw you? He's the biggest tease in golf, because we were watching Rory
biggest
early this
golf.
Morning.
Although Van Tonder, how much can you put on him to win?
And who?
Daniel Van Tonder.
Probably the same odds you would have had on Ben Curtis through 2 rounds. And you would have made a boatload of money. All right, Tim. Well, it's raining, but I see the Buffalo District Golf Association here is they're going to give it a go.
We're setting up to play. We set up the range. We got the pyramids out there. It looks great. We're going to try to pull this off. First time supposed to go at 9 o'clock. Course is taking it well, so it's under a tenth that they're anticipating here in the next hour. Feels different under the tent, but it's taking it. They're going to try to pull this off. Even if it could be a final round 9 holes, but we do have the women's champion to be crowned. 6 shots separate. Players want to play. So just, right, Jeff, you just get prepared. What
it's
do you do?
Outdoor
keep
game.
Those grips dry.
I always thought this was a day I had a better chance because half the people out there didn't want to be there, and I wanted to be there trying to win. So half the people were done before they even teed it up.
That's a great point. Just control what you can control.
That's what Koepka says about every major, right? And he goes, half of them are... They get too nervous for a major. I already know I got half the field beat.
Yeah. Now, that's not saying that it can't rain really hard and then it becomes unplayable and then they have to delay, but the intention's to try to play today.
But that's tournament golf. How many times have you been in tournaments where you're on and off, back on, back off? And
U.S. Open qualifier went 3 days in a sectional and you just kept coming back and the field got limited and we ended up playing.
Excellent. Well, Tim, thanks for having us here again. We'll be back here for the duster and
Duster's going to be fun. Sign up.
Yeah, it's almost it's getting full. So if you want to get in, you got to get in pretty quick, I think.
I've tweeted out the link at BrianWGR, also at T2G Buffalo. So you can check it out there for our putting contest. So.
And that helps our foundation, our
Western
Reach Foundation.
PGA Reach Foundation. Yep. Awesome. Well, Tim, I hope at least you saved a little money on water this week. You didn't have to water the fairways or anything.
Turn off that irrigation system.
Like you said, Tim, I think we need a sub-air system here at Glen Oak.
Sub-air. Yeah. Just suck it right out.
Or a retractable roof.
People always talk about, why don't they do that? It might be not cost-effective. Sub-air might not be cost-effective either.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian. Great job, you two. Couple hours. Nice going.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
Tim Fries from Glen Oak. Jeff Midas from everywhere.
Yes, including from the ether.
Including from TD Green. Thanks, Jeff. That was fun.
Yes, thank you.
Corey Griswold back in our studios. Thank you, Corey. Thanks to all of our guests. Scott Smalter from PGA Hope. Pat Phillips from Woods to Wedges. Marty Schimmel from the Porter Cup. And, of course, we thank you, the listener, for being with us. We'll have the entire show up on our on-demand audio section, WGR550.com. We'll tweet it out as well. Stay dry. Enjoy the Open Championship. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you next Saturday from Niagara Falls Country Club and the Porter Cup right here on Tee to Green on WGR.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to Wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.